This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, thank you guys. It's time to listen to the Word of God. I know you want to actually do some worship, and we are going to tonight. We're going to have an awesome time. In the presence of God. Before we do so, I got the best for last. So I'm going to wrap up tonight and just pray to God before we sing. But what I want to trust is that at least tonight, if anyone that knows how this thing works. Oh, the gold is a job. Let's come tonight to a place where we at least can come to consecration of what God has said for us. I'm so excited tonight. I want to thank Heinrich. Where is Heinrich? He's probably around the corner. Just for the impartation this morning, you know, I was thinking the whole time we've got sessions that are so different every session, and always you wait in a conference that things will come together, and this morning it came together so beautifully. I'm so proud of what God is doing in our midst. What I want to ask you is tonight to give it one more session, and trust God to do something in your heart. The word that God has given us, His desire to inspire. And I want to conclude with that, you know, and trust God to do something special. You can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 7. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for what you've already done in our lives. As we can surprise. So many of us, Father God, because we came with different ideas, and yet you have just the way in which you do things. It's just awesome. Mm-hmm. To reveal yourself to us, your heart's desires to us. Mm-hmm. And tonight we ask that you will come and do one more thing this weekend. And that is to come and submit the things that you've spoken to us about. Mm-hmm. God, we don't want to let the words that you gave us this weekend go past us. But it will penetrate our hearts, and it will germinate, and it will become great fruit. Mm-hmm. As we heard this morning, it's going to be, Father God, arrows sent to the nations. Mm-hmm. We trust you for that. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. Amen. One more person that I want to just for people that I want to just honor before I go on is just Beth and Renee. Amen. Can you just give them a hand?
I think my greatest relief was to not have the camp this year is in England because
every year for the last 10 years we've done it, and it's hard work. Guys, don't think so, but doing camping is not just putting up the tent. There's a lot of work that has to be done, and you guys have done a great job. Amen. The first one in Europe, we made many more.
Amen.
Okay, let's get to the word. Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 7. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Make a note there, rich food. incline your ear and come to me, here that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know, and you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified me. Listen to this. And if you know Jesus, this must excite you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, in Isaiah, the prophet, and you all know that's in the Old Testament, it's before Jesus came and the New Covenant came into fruition. There was the first 39 books of or chapters of Isaiah that was about the judgment of Israel. And it was quite harsh chapters, and when you read it, always think of the harshness and the difficult times that Israel had to go through. And then the last 27 chapters is actually the promises of God that is spoken through Isaiah. This chapter, chapter 55, is one in which God is busy speaking promises to Israel. Chapter 53 was the one of the suffering servant, the one that prophesied about Jesus that would come, and that Jesus would be the solution, the one, the servant that would come for many. And then in chapter 5, it brings us now to a place where we must hear that God actually wants to bring not just Israel, but that everyone to a place where they are included in this covenant. Now, this is a beautiful picture because the question still is, and many debate about who it's, you know, addressing in chapter 55, but it's clear that in verse 1 it says, come everyone who thirsts. I want to say tonight to you, everyone means everyone. You sitting here, it means that God is not speaking just to the Old Testament. He's not just speaking to Israel. He's including you and I. When he says, you who thirst, come to me. And thirsty is a difficult one, because I can tell you, it says that there is some that even in the midst of their labor and hard work is finding themselves in a position where they labor in vain. They are not searching the waters of life. So when it speaks about this thirst, it speaks of a place where at this stage, chapter 55, Isaiah is actually saying, listen, come on, this is for free, to all, to everyone, but it's the most costly thing on the whole planet. And I want to say that to you tonight. Because although it's for free, it's like a pearl of great price. If you don't know what's going to quench that thirst, you will labor and you will do a lot of things, and yet you will never be satisfied. And this is what chapter 55 is speaking, because it's giving us the answers later on, and I'm going to get to all the way to verse 12. But what I can tell you, it says, you, everyone, there's an open invitation to you to come and, you know, just quench that thirst, but it's going to cost you. And it's not just going to cost you a little, it's going to cost you everything. And I want to have that conversation with you tonight. You know, just listening to the stories this morning, I must say, I'm with, you know, it stirs me. Just to hear what God has done on this continent and, you know, on the island of the UK. And, you know, through so many men and women of God in the past. And then I think about it, it was for free. Every one of them did not need any bank card or any finances to be part of God's covenant. And yet, for those who became the giants of the faith, it cost them everything. that gave up their lives for this cause. And my message to you this evening is, it's such a beautiful place to be at, where you and I realize that we can grab it, we can get it, if we are willing to pay that price. And I want to talk about that tonight. So, I haven't spoke about it, but it's clear that in the midst of those who are so thirsty, the depression rate in the world, the suicide rate is probably the biggest ever. Although we in our communities want to be more safer, we are even more reckless than ever. People are doing more radical things than ever. To make a statement, to try to find purpose in life, to come to a place of fulfillment. And yet, I can tell you, in the midst of all of this, we see workaholics, people that, I can just get my next page, people that are working and slaving themselves to death. You see extreme sports being pressed to the limit, in places where people will kill themselves to be the best at whatever sport demands of them. You even see that people are fighting for causes that is so vain. I was driving a place the other day, and I'm not belittling it. I know it's special for those who have the hobby, but it would have been for me such a revelation. You see, say the locomotive, the train, and I thought, what other causes will we find these days? It's save the dog, save the, my lampstand, save my whatever. There's so many causes. The plastic straw. If you these days enjoy McDonald's, please start that cause as well. It's strange how people still are looking for significance. Even though we have it all together, yet we still are looking for significance. And so, when it says all included, I want to say to you, the urgency in this word says, today, seek while you can still find it. There's an urgency. And, I've never been in a place as urgent as we are now, where the world is looking for a blood-washed, bought-out, sold-out, purified children of God. The world is looking for answers like never before. And I want to say to you tonight, we're going to pray together, because I'm going to trust God with you, that we'll get to the place where we will be more purified than ever. We must keep one another accountable, because the world is looking for answers. And I'm telling you, if we are radical enough to start to live the pure gospel, as it says in verse 6 and 7, if we just get back to that, I've got notes here that is just crazy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And so we make the gospel easier and easier for people to access, and yet we miss the point that it's not easy to commit. That it's actually more difficult than we think. And I we had a discussion last night, and I was reminded of years ago, 98, quite a few years ago, I remember being in a situation like this where, I was standing, I came to England at that stage. I had a cornea transplant because of a rocky accident. I for the rest of the year, couldn't study at the university. And so my dad said to me, listen, I want you to go and work. You must go and sort your study loan. And I decided to go to England to go and work. And I worked first in, for those who know the restaurant there in South Africa, it's the Spur. And I worked in Stellenbosch, of all places, where there's only students, and they didn't know that, I promise you that. Now I worked for my for my ticket at the time to get to England with £100 in my pocket. I arrived on the airport and I remember going to the youth hostel and paid for 3 days in advance. And then my £100 was gone. There was no money in my pocket, and I was feeling very sorry for myself. I was sitting in front of that student hostel at the time, and I was saying, what did I do? What did I think when I decided? I had this one friend that told me, listen, you know, you will find a guy called Jason Whale, and he will organize a job for you. He's an old South African, and he will get a security job for you in London, and it will happen like this. So you just phone this guy. Whenever you get there, don't worry, we'll sort you. So I phoned Jason. Jason said, you know what, you've got in 3 weeks from now, we've got training, the next training for security officers, and you can come for that. We'll then, you know, see if it can work, and then you can start with your work a week after. So I realized there's a month ahead. No money, and the youth hostel is probably going to kick me out. And I went to Buckingham Palace. I remember, you know, one of the last things that I could afford was actually to walk around there in the park around Buckingham Palace. And for those of you that know it, there, on the side of Buckingham Palace, there's this long road with a wall. There's this red phone booth. You know, like there in London, and I was standing in that phone booth, and I knew I couldn't afford to phone my mom and dad, but I did a collect call. They luckily answered and accepted the call, and I was talking to my dad. I said, Dad, this is funny. And he started to cry actually on the other side. And I was in tears on this side, you know. Yeah, in England. He said to my son, the way people say, it's time to become man. And that was so true. I remember that moment so clearly. Because then I had to turn to God and say, God, will I sleep on the streets? What will I do? And I remember him leading me one step at a time. I spoke to guys last night, a VHS video still with me of a guy that asked me to bring it to the game for the end of the weekend, rugby game of a local team that he supported, Wes Island and Paul Riss, and he wanted to watch this game. He said, I don't know, still don't know how I got to his house, but I got there. And as I arrived there, you know, he asked me, so, what are you going to do? I said, no, listen, I'm hanging around, I'm at the hostel, and he said, no, but you just come and stay with me, you know. And I stayed with him for the next while, and then later on he gave me money in advance to get through the end of the month. And so the rest was history. And I think it was 6 months I paid off all my debt, you know, my study loan, and I worked very hard. But one thing that was so special to me was that moment with my dad. And becoming a man. And often we see these days that we as Christians miss that opportunity. That one that Jesus wants to journey with us. And we have so many people that he comes up with us rather than God in our heart. The fact that even though God loves us, he has his promise for us and he includes us and he's extending it to us, you and I must make a definite choice if we are really going to trust him. If we really are going to be at a place where we're going to put all our faith in him. And that is your challenge tonight, my challenge tonight. Because I can tell you, when Isaiah 55, the promise comes to Israel, There's a few things that God first wants to sort out in their hearts. Let's read in verse 8 of chapter 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. For God is setting a few things to do with him. Neither are your ways my ways. Forget about it. It's not my ways. It is the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and I don't know how far the heavens are, I clearly not, but it's very far, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to you empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall bless your hand. Bless us. If you can't accept the fact that God loves you, and he loves you so much that he wants the best for you, you'll never be able to believe what chapter 55 is. And life will be one million more experiences. You know, God tests a man's commitment, love, and faith in this journey. Because love is tested. So Abram was such a man. Abram had to leave his country. These days, you know, that particular fact, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, the vicinity, along the riverbank, beautiful piece of ground that he had, and lots of sheep. He had to give it up and he had to follow God, and it says that he went from the land of the Chaldeans all the way to where God was leading him. And so the people asked him, so Abram, where are you going? God loves you, and you have, you know, this great idea of God, but Abram, where are you going? He says, God will lead me. I don't know, but God will lead me. God will take me to his way. And then we know the story. This same man that loves God, and God loves him, God brought to a place where he says, I've got a promise for you. I've got a nation that's going to be awesome and big, and this is the promise for the times to come. But I want you to give it up on your son Isaac. You have to sacrifice him. What kind of love are we talking about here? A love that gets tested. And so I can tell you, even in my relationship with my wife, it gets tested. It's not just good enough to say that you and I have a relationship with God, and it is not tested. It goes through trials and it goes through different circumstances and difficult circumstances. Is faith to trust when you don't know? You know, we so easily get caught up in trusting the human system. You know, we were just talking, I can't remember if it was last night or the night before even, about the fact that what would happen if, you know, the internet is not working. You know, how many systems will fall to the ground? Yeah. You know, the vehicle last night, I think with Malcolm Richie, he says some of the young people have been confronted by their parents to not believe everything they read on social media and Twitter these days. And then they would say, but Dad, Mom, you've trusted one source of newspapers for your whole life, and you always thought that that is the truth. Now, I remember the country that I'm coming from. For every morning at 5:30, there would be a newspaper in front of our door, and we would read the Burger. Okay? What is it in English? The Citizen. And I grew up with that, and you know, when me and Melanie just got married, you know, every morning it got delivered to our house as well. That's how it worked.
Until later on, I started at varsity read other newspapers, and I realized that there's a world beyond the burger. And that all the ideologies that even apartheid brought was communicated through the burger. And so, you know, these days you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. And you can't believe Donald Trump, and you can't believe Boris Johnson. We are in quite a fix. Because the times that you are living in, you must decide who you are going to trust. And there's so many sources that you and I can get our information from, and the judgment that our young people must make these days is just way beyond what we ever had to make. You know, I just had to decide, do I play rugby or cricket or, you know, that, or tennis or whatever. You know, for me that was stressful. My world fell apart if, you know, I don't make the first team rugby team. And then when I think about it these days, children are confronted with so many choices that they daily must decide either to prove or not to. And this place of love is a place where you and I must put our money where our mouth is. The fact that we say that we trust God, that we love God enough, that our hope is in the God that we love, but is it truly? If you ask people these days, why do you do the job that you're doing? You know, why are you making the decisions that you are making? It's difficult to navigate yourself through the answers to find God in one of those sentences. Did God say? Did God speak? Did God reveal himself to you? Or is it just a comfortable arrangement for the next season in your life? Is it the most logical conclusion? And so my question to you tonight is, you know, when you make decisions in life, and if you say that you love God and God loves you, are you in that journey that brings the kind of revelation to you where you fulfill His word? Because we can't say that His word will not return to me void if I don't know what His word is. Are you with me? You can't say that you love Him if you don't know who He is. You can't be at a place where you love Him and you are not tested in your life. You know, for my wife, she knows that I love her and that I will come back home tonight. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I honor my wife through the years. You know, she has gone everywhere that God has said to herself. We never had any conversations about, you know, going to the next place because of my salary or because of her comfort, or every time, just any time to get into this, but I want to do what God is doing. And so, the blessing of it is that that love relationship with God leads us to the understanding that God is very much alive. And this is a journey and a relationship that you and I can put ourselves in. And God is asking us often, do you believe in me? Do you trust me? And so, I've seen it this weekend again. Spain, the weekend, had quite an, or this week, had quite an incident on, on Tuesday, we got back from Eastbourne, and we together with Andrew and the team, we had a great time, and we rushed back to our home in Wimbledon, which is about, is it 114 days? I can't remember, but it's about 2 hours drive. Got there, and I said to him, it's good to get in the car, I'm going to take you to Heathrow Airport, because we're going to get to the Netherlands. And then they discovered that they forgot their passport in Eastbourne. And there was no way.
recover those. And so we decided they'll come with Melanie on Friday. And the two kids, our two kids, our eldest kids, went with us on the cycling trip. And, you know, so this was a mission. And some of you heard all the detail, but it was about 150 k's a day. 2 days that they made sure me and Nigel survived on the road to the Netherlands from London. And their kids went on the support vehicle, and it was beautiful to watch them because there was no rule, and they ate whatever they could eat on. And luckily their mom was not there to appreciate this, because she would have really good stuff. And all the amazing delicacies that the two of them could stuff in their mouth. And, you know, it was an awesome trip. I can tell you, they enjoyed themselves. After the first day, we got to the ferry, which was the bonus, because we got this nice cabin. We sleep over through the night, and you know, you can just imagine after 150 kilometers of cycling, I just wanted to get to the shower and then after that in bed. Okay, and the two of them wanted to explore this boat now. There's no way something could go to the boat. But it's not too far to the coffee and area. You can quickly go and get me a hot chocolate. Okay, I went to shower and I didn't tell this to my wife, so afterwards I might confess I love her again. But I woke up the next morning with the alarm, with the hot chocolate in front of my bed, and luckily Lana was in her bed, okay? I don't know how she got into her bed, I don't know how, what our late stay up. So we don't tell this to anyone, but I must expose myself here tonight. But it was a day of chaos, without a bomb. And you know, I could see the second day they were starting to ask, where is mom? But even in the midst of the stuff of chaos, you see them, you know, hunger for stability, for rule, for structure, for the right food. Laura, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Laura did her best, but with three teenagers, you must be fussy. You ain't seen nothing yet. But at the end of the second day, I could see that they were really longing after their mom and asking them where mom is. You know, and so my question to you tonight is it really good for kids to have everything that they want? Mm. You know, if you give them all they want, it won't be good for them. Why? Because you have a better grasp of the bigger picture. Mm. You know what is coming for you. They easily manipulate you to think that you are the one that's doing wrong, and you say no. So the whole day I was feeling bad. Okay, so they were not really signing up for a mission. They actually, you know, are on summer break and they wanted to go with their mom to the Netherlands. And so the last minute they had to come on this mission trip, and now they must be focused. Okay, they must pray with us, and then. And so now they are pulling the strings, eh? If I say no, I feel bad, okay? They make sure that I feel bad enough that I give, okay? You know how that works? Mm. Our small children, as soon as they see the gap, they will start to manipulate you and use and abuse you for whatever they can get. Mm-hmm. Until you see the bigger picture and you realize that, okay, it's fine for 2 days, but thank God Melanie is back in our picture. Because that means that she will help to get order again before the noise here, all that kind of beautiful things that happens when we involve so much. I want to say to you tonight, you know what? We do the same with God. In our love, we find it difficult not to try to manipulate God whenever He seems to be the picture. And He says, no, I know what is best for you. And I'm not going to do this thing. Because in my perspective, in where I'm going with you, this is going to be harmful to you. And my picture tonight is that this God that we are serving is clearly in control of our life. He has all knowledge, which means that He knows what's going to happen in the future. He's got the bigger picture in such a way that He knows that the future is more important to us than our present circumstances. If I can choose, I will choose what is best for me now. What's going to benefit me within the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or even the next month. But I am not even thinking about what's going to happen next year and the year after. God knows. And this God that we are serving is so much in control and such a magnificent God that He's committed to say to us, listen, are you willing to be thirsty enough for this pearl of great prize where you will lay down your life and say, listen, I will rather give up my present so that I can live for the future that you have in store. The eternal values that will bring much greater significance in your life. That is my message to you. That you and I get to a place where we need to not be disappointed by God, while He knows better all our lives. We must rather turn our disappointment, and disappointment is fine. But we must learn to deal with our disappointments in such a way that we can actually subdue it and come to the will of God. And that will of God is us to the perfect place when you and I can find ourselves in the everlasting arms of God. The promises that He has, the love He wants to show to us. And so I remember, you know, years ago, me and Rani also, you know, had a situation where we trusted people, you know, we sold our house and, you know, we gave the money of the house to a guy who was a Christian guy actually in the church, and we lost everything. Because this project, we knew actually the project would fall and still need some money. You know, after years I was struggling to forgive with me. And then I thought, yeah, God, this is just so unfair. Christian that's still prosperous and he's still, you know, on a roll, and yet, you know, we are struggling just to get to buy any house anymore because we've lost everything. And I had to deal with this disappointment to come before God and say to God, God, please honor, because I want to really sort this guy out. And I can either get stuck in my circumstance with God, and the questions that I actually asked God was, God, why does He unrighteous? And I'm not saying that He's unrighteous, because this guy really wants to do what God wants for his life, and he probably dealt with it in his own way. But one thing that I had in my own heart, and that was that God has sought out in my life. But are you going to be stuck here? Do you need to do this to confess with me? Because I have a plan in the midst of it. I am in control of your life. And so many times we get to this place when we start to ask God some difficult questions. God, is the unrighteous flourishing? Why am I struggling? Why am I going through difficult things? My question to you today is that if God were tonight give you everything, because you are right, but you still fail. If God would give you all the money in the world, will there be any reason to be dependent on Him? Think about it.
If in this world every righteous man have the opportunity to get all the funds and the financial freedom and stuff that is necessary in their life because God prospers the righteous, will they still serve God? Why would they want to serve a God if they don't need to be dependent on Him, but on their own people? And so Job was that man. Job was a man that was confronted even to the extent where the enemy came and the enemy said, God, He will actually curse you in your face if you would just touch His thing. And God, if Job just will have any opposition, will find it very difficult to love Him. And yet, the outcome of that storm, God put a hedge around him, and still, one thing that Job said that was beautiful, he said, though you slay me, I will still serve him. My question to you tonight is, even if the fig tree does not blossom, you still want to serve God. That's amazing, as a church in London, it's been such a beautiful destiny. I think it's the first time in the ministry that I'm really struggling to see my faith come to the strength where you can see, the church just take off and doing awesome things for God. Everything in the past was quite easy, you put your faith out, God bless you, and you do awesome things. And this time around, it's really grafting in and asking God for answers and you collectively, I'm not saying myself, because we are really thinking this. All of us are asking God, what do we need to do? Do we need pruning? Do we need to adjust certain things? Do we need other strategies? And we try a few, some won and some we have lost. But the beauty of this journey for me is still serving God. In the midst of all of this, we made a decision. Listen, although the fig tree does not blossom the way that we think, we need to stay committed. God, we need to wait until your word comes. That is quite a commitment. That's the kind of commitment that I'm telling you that God wants to take you and I in our journeys with Him. Because those moments are more precious than any other victory in the eye of the world. And so, I can tell you, a no from God does not mean God does not love us. Our disappointments bring us to an understanding that God's ways are greater than ours. Number two, I can trust that His word will accomplish. God's wisdom is infinitely higher than ours. God knows best. Whatever looks like a blessing to me might be a curse that God can prevent in my life. I'm just willing to lay it before you. To lay it before you to be good in my life. And so, I trust that God uses my current circumstances to use eternal love. Can you stand? I don't know where you are in your journey with God. Maybe you stand here tonight and everything has just been honky dory and you are only commodity, praise God, rolling and running. Oh, sorry, that's that one. You are running around for God and Jesus and it's just praise Jesus, hallelujah, and praise God for that. But, I want to say to you tonight. Although it's free, your cost is This is a beautiful journey that I will not give it up for anything more. There's no way that I will choose an easier life in finances or, and there was opportunities
I've worked in the banking industry and I've seen many people that are so lonely. Many people that are so in a search for meaning out there. And I see it in London. You walk there and you see so many people with a facade that walks past you and you think that everything is actually so together. But tonight, when they get off that train, they're the first to run into the bar, have a few fights and forget about their sorrows. Same people that are so dignified, you know, fall from the one side to the other side of the pavement because they can't even reach their home by 12 o'clock. And then you think by yourself, you know what? We've become masters in the facade that we've put before. And deep inside, we are in a desperate search for significance and truth in life. I know your promises will come to pass in my life because I've seen it in the past. I have so many stories to tell. I can't actually deny that it will come through when you live in life. I can't deny the fact. Can you get the communion as well? I can't deny that he is faithful in my life. Yes, I have been trusting for 10 bucks and later on for the 100 and then for the 1,000 and now for even more. And it grows as our faith extends and seeing come through for us. And for you, it's maybe at a different level. Maybe it's just trusting to tomorrow morning to help you get out there and to find significance in your day. And all that I know is that's all for fun. You know, for us as Christians, one thing that I would love to see the church get right is to understand that God is on different journeys with different people. Because we so easily bang people over the head that is not as, you know, faith giants as we are, and why can't they trust God for? And I get frustrated with some Christians in their growth. And they fall back, and they stand up again, and they fall back, and they stand up again. And God reminds me that this is a journey. Not long ago, you came back. You were foolish enough to think that 100 pounds would be enough to help us all be established in those days. You know, it was just because of my arrogance, it was not my faith. It was not because I had faith of 100 pounds for this far. I was arrogant enough to think everything I can hear anything. God had to bring me down to a place where I could trust him literally for the next reason. The beauty is that God has a journey with you, and it's special. It's pure, it's blessed. And every trial that you are facing is better. And he's going to journey with you through this one. And you may be not really the root was and maybe not the whiskey of the time yet. Don't underestimate the God you saw. Some of those men only got so good for people. They changed the world. We come to you as partakers of this covenant. We are the able one standing before you tonight in the name of Jesus. We are your people. We are the people that you love, that you actually want the best for. Not what we think, but what we love. And we want to stand before you tonight and we want to ask, let your word not become void, but let it accomplish every good work that you have destined for in our lives. God, there is no community that is not ready for you. There is no community that is unbroken. Father God, there is no workplace that is unpenetrable. Father, you've placed us in our circumstances for a day such as this.
Amen.
You've given us the grace to overcome every situation.
Amen.
And although it's free, we know that it's going to cost us everything.
Amen.
But oh God, we're going to become men and women of your one. We're going to stand up and trust you for the next and the next and the next and the next until all we see
right.
But God, we dare not turn our eyes from you, God. And tonight we want to just reassure ourselves that you reign in our heart.
Amen.
You love us enough to do best for us. Amen. Thank you for your son to live tonight for us.
Amen.
Tonight we meet. Let's be together. But also to be cleansed. Oh God, help us to live holy lives. To become the blood-washed people that you want the world to see. That is the answer to the world that is in the name of Jesus. Drink of this cup now. Because of your blood, in the name of Jesus. We're going to be able to camp tonight by worship. And I want to ask you another question. If there's any sessions that was done until now, a lot of input over 1 weekend. But I want to ask you to please press in. And just tonight come to me. Real. Even if you pray, come and stand in front of me. We'll just make sure that you can pray with you as the worship progresses. Don't feel obliged to do anything. Don't need to worship. That's your choice. We choose to. You know, my dad could not force me to do anything in the UK. It was all my choices, and I had to bear the consequences, you know, of my own choices. The beauty of it was the moments they cried with me and stood with me. You know, when I asked for his advice, he was always there for me. But he had the sense to, at the right time, be responsible in my life. There's many responsible Christians that wants to just pray with you tonight and trust with you to see it through. Do a small prayer here tonight. I want to say to you, don't give up on those that God has entrusted us. Let them become men. Let them become women. Don't make love so easy for them that you always take the fight from your heart. Let them fight with them.
Amen.
But be with them. So that they can hear God's word. But don't take the opportunity from them to grow stronger. Tonight, that is the place that I want to tell you, trusting you to go. It's a place where you cannot take away the challenges that come. us to God. How beautiful the mind is here as well. You know, there's churches that he realized, you know, he's got this unction, he wants to see them prosper, he wants to be there for them, and he realized that it was getting him prosper. That is the place that you are in. Maybe there's something that God wants to do for you. Maybe God wants to do a life challenge here to make radical decisions concerning your life. But it's time to do this.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.